Thank you, Jesus. Let's turn to 39 in the grace of glory. 39. Hopefully I can find it. Why God's wondrous grace to me he hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not how his saving faith to me he did impart, nor how believing in his word brought peace within my heart. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through the Word, but I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not what of good or ill may be reserved for me, of weary ways or golden days before his face I see. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not when my Lord may come at night or noonday fair, or if I walk the veil with him or meet him in the air. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Sing it again. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that. 15? Sure. 1:5. Thank you, Lord. Wonderful day. On the glory dawning morning, we shall meet our Lord above, for he's coming soon to lift us from below. On his throne of the new splendor, we shall praise him whom we love. Oh, the glory up in heaven we shall know. Oh, what glory we shall see, what rejoicing there will be on that glory dawning morning by and by. Free from sorrow, pain, and woe, we'll be caught up from below, there to live with Jesus while the ages fly. On the glory dawning morning, we shall cast our golden crowns for the one who washed us in his precious blood. Like the sound of many waters, voices then will mingle praise to Emmanuel who brought us unto God. Oh, what glory we shall see, what rejoicing there will be on that glory dawning morning by and by. Free from sorrow, pain, and woe, we'll be caught up from below, there to live with Jesus while the ages fly. On the glory dawning morning, there will be a marriage grand. Many guests will be assembled in the air to behold the holy union of the bridegroom and the bride and enjoy the marriage supper rich and rare. Oh, what glory we shall see, what rejoicing there will be on that glory dawning morning by and by. Free from sorrow, pain, and woe, we'll be caught up from below, there to live with Jesus while the ages fly. On the glory dawning morning, when the saints have gathered in, and the time of Jacob's troubles will have ceased, we'll be reigning with the bridegroom, robed with all his glory then, in his kingdom all will be in perfect peace. Oh, what glory we shall see, what rejoicing there will be on that glory dawning morning by and by. Free from sorrow, pain, and woe, we'll be caught up from below, to live with Jesus while the ages fly. Sing it again, here we go. Oh, what glory we shall see, what rejoicing there will be on that glory dawning morning by and by. Free from sorrow, pain, and woe, we'll be caught up from below, there to live with Jesus while the ages fly. For whatever it takes to draw closer to you, Lord, that's what I'll be willing to do. For whatever it takes to be more like you, that's what I'll be willing to do. I'll trade sunshine for rain, comfort for pain. That's what I'll be willing to do. For whatever it takes, for my will to break, that's what I'll be willing to do. From the beginning, amen, here we go. For whatever it takes to draw closer to you, that's what I'll be willing to do. For whatever it takes to be more like you, that's what I'll be willing to do. I'll trade sunshine for rain, comfort for pain. That's what I'll be willing to do. For whatever it takes, for my will to break, that's what I'll be willing to do. Amen, Lord. Glory to your name. Through it all, through trust in Jesus, I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. From the beginning, through it all, through it all, oh, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word, Jesus. Glory to your name. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the New Jerusalem. Wear a crown, wear a crown, wear a bright and shining crown. For when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the New Jerusalem. Once again, here we go. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown, yes, We shall wear a crown, yes, we shall wear a crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the New Jerusalem. Wear a crown, wear a crown, wear a bright and shining crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the New Jerusalem. Amen. Glory. Thank you, Lord. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be.
Now, last week we started a series of messages, and we were looking at a scripture that Ezekiel has a couple of times in his writing. Ezekiel was a prophet, and he lived about the same time as Daniel. He was not taken away into captivity to Babylon as soon as Daniel was. It was after that he went. Now, Daniel, the position that Daniel was in was that he was a prince over in Israel. He was one of the king's children. So he and his friends got promoted into the palace to have their position. But Ezekiel was a man who was a prophet. And, of course, Daniel was a prophet too. But God had Ezekiel go at a later time, and he went and was just living with the common people that were carried away captive. And in Ezekiel, we're not going to turn there today. We're dwelling on what Ezekiel said in Ezekiel 14:14. This is what he said. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but only their own souls by their righteousness, says the Lord God. So Ezekiel was warning the people of Israel that trouble was coming, and that God was going to judge them because they were idolaters. They were worshiping idols on every high hill and going against the things of God. And so this is mentioned several times in the book of Ezekiel, where Ezekiel names these three characters, Noah, Daniel, and Job. Real examples of faith, every one of them, tremendous examples of faith. Now, last week we studied about Noah, and we talked about, you know, all the things that God led him to do. I was thinking again about it this morning, about 600 years old, going to build an ark. I don't think that would be possible nowadays. We don't, any of us live that old, do we? But can you imagine at that age, God calling him to do something so spectacular as building an ark? And he was a very, very faithful man, and a man that many, many people remember, even if they don't believe the Bible. Well, if you say, well, who built the ark? Well, Noah, because it's something that people have mentioned sometime. But the second character that Ezekiel talks about is Daniel. And in Hebrews 11, 32 and 33, we're not going to turn there. It doesn't mention Daniel by name. In the 11th chapter of Hebrews, it mentions different people who were faithful to God all down through the ages, and how that through their age, their time. And he mentions Enoch, and he mentions Noah, and he mentions Abraham. But in the latter part of the chapter, verses 32 and 33, he just talks about there as some of them that stopped the mouths of lions. And that's one of the things that I think most people remember about Daniel, is being thrown into the lion's den because he prayed to God his regular times regardless, and he got thrown into the lion's den, and the Lord shut the lion's mouths. And we may read that later. But right now we're going to go to the book of Daniel, and we're not going to be studying today the different prophecies that Daniel, as I said, was a prophet, and God gave him marvelous insight. I was thinking the other day about Daniel, and I thought, you know, if we didn't have the book of Daniel, for some reason it was left out of the Bible, we probably wouldn't have the book of Revelation, because Daniel was very, very sure, and God anointed him to talk about the end time, things that were going to happen in the end time, and the prophecies, that the dates that are in the book of Daniel that show us the expanse of time of the tribulation. It's amazing, isn't it? But we're going to look at Daniel as the man who was a victor, a young man, very young man, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and beseeched it. The date was about 606 BC or 607 BC. My margin says 607. But Jehoiakim was an ungodly man. He wasn't following God, and he was the present king at that time. You can read about him and back in the 2 Kings 24, you can read about him. And so God said, enough is enough. I'm going to send down from Babylon this king, Nebuchadnezzar, and he's going to come and besiege Jerusalem and destroy it. And they did. They came and they destroyed the temple. They destroyed the walls. They tore down things. They were very aggressive toward Israel. And so we see that happening here. And notice verse 2. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. Now, if you look on a map, you'll see that Babylon, straight up north, is Assyria. And then over toward, you would be on this side. I'm always thinking about when I'm using my hands. The map over to the right, if you're looking at a map, is Babylon. Probably about 300 and something miles, they took these people. And we're going to see that they took these children that were wonderful princes of Israel. And he brought all the silver, he brought many of the vessels of the treasury of the house of God. Verse 3, the king spoke unto Aspenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now, the reason he had to nourish them is because they had been under siege, and these individuals were very, very weak and sickly, probably from the lack of food that they needed. But notice that they were the the master of the eunuchs was over them, and no doubt they were made infertile. That's other places that Bible seems to indicate that these men were singled out. And so then in verse 6, now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And later in verse 7, he renamed them. Unto the prince of the eunuchs, the prince of the eunuchs gave them names. For he gave unto Daniel the name Belteshazzar. And that means the king's leader, or the Lord of the straitened treasure. Helped of Jehovah is another meaning of that. And Hananiah means God is judge. Mishael means who is what God is. And Azariah means servant of brightness. So that's what those names that they gave him meant, the new names. So in verse 8, we find the most important verse. Verse 8, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love, and in the original it means compassion, with the prince of the eunuchs. Now, he purposed in his heart. This means he determined to do or to achieve something, that word purposed, to the aim of something or the goal of something, that he was going to purpose to do that. Now, why would he not want to eat that good meat? He'd been starving for a long time over there in the besiegement of Israel. But he determined he was not going to do that. Now, why? Because we find out that this king of Babylon, he didn't eat his meat until it was blessed by these priests that were in this place where they worshiped these idols. They would bless that meat, and then the king would eat that meat, and the wine the same way. And Daniel was so separated in, this is an amazing thing, with all the trials and the tests, with the king being totally ungodly, unyielded, yet there are these boys that are so yielded to God that they make all these right decisions. Just young people, they are making right decisions before the Lord. He said, I will not defile myself with this meat, because that had been offered to idols. It wasn't just an outside deciding to benefit himself in some way, but it was to please God. That was his attitude, was a person to please God. He would not eat the meat. This meat, I read up on it to see what kind of meat they ate, was pig meat, deer meat, fowls of different kinds, eggs and fish, and even shellfish. But see, because some of those Israel could eat, but like the pigs, they couldn't. That was against the rules of the law. And other things, certain kinds of fowl, certain kinds of fish, they couldn't eat. And so he was determined that his food would not be of that sort. And as I said, this food was offered unto idols. Yes. And they served those idols. And he would not drink the wine. So, praise the Lord. Daniel wanted no participation in any pagan type thing, any pagan type worship, even to the slightest degree. He wouldn't say, well, I'm really hungry, like some of the people did. Some of those young men that came back didn't make that choice. They ate of whatever they were given, as we see that. So, in verse 10, it says, the prince of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord, the king. I fear the king who's appointed your meat and your drink. For why should you see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, Prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days. Let them go give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenance be looked upon before thee and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants. And he considered unto them in this matter and proved them 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Isn't that interesting? Now that was a miracle, wasn't it? It was a miracle from God that they got through that, and the Lord blessed them for that. Praise the Lord. That pulse, we think of what is pulse? It was a form of kind of like a soup type stuff that I don't know what they made it out of, but it had to be made of something that was not something that they couldn't eat. Praise the Lord. And then we go on down a little bit further. Notice in verse 19, at the end of those days in verse 18, Nebuchadnezzar brings them before him, and the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. In other words, when it says they stood before the king, it means that he chose them because they were better than any of the others. They were more alert. They had more knowledge. God had blessed them. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all of his realm. And Daniel continued even into the first year of King Cyrus. After Babylon fell, King Cyrus came into existence from another nation. And all of that time, Daniel just kept following the Lord and kept being obedient. And I just want to say, I don't know if any of our young people are still here, are they? Okay, I want to say to the young people and to the children, God loves you dearly, and he wants you to follow him, just like Daniel and like his friends. They were taken away from their families. They had a hard time. They were probably almost starved. And they come to this evil place where they were worshiping idols everywhere all over the place, and yet they stood firm for the Lord. They stood firm for the Lord. That is the most important thing in our life. And as young people, the devil will try to tempt you in every way possible to get you to follow after the ways of the world. But if you will be like Daniel, how did Daniel do that? Did he just grit his teeth and say, I'm not going to eat that? Boy, doesn't that roast look good? My goodness, I'm starving to death. He didn't say that. He just prayed over the food and ate what he knew God allowed them to eat, and he was blessed for it. That's what the Lord wants from our lives. He wants dedication, dedication to him to do his will above all. And why did Daniel do that? Because the scripture said what to do. Do you know that the word of God today says exactly what we're supposed to do? It shows us the way. The Holy Scripture of God chose us the exact way. It wasn't that he just decided himself for some reason. It wasn't that. It was that he was versed in the Scripture. And he knew that God did not want them to eat that stuff that was wrong for Israelites to eat. They were of the tribe of Judah, by the way. Did you notice that? That's the kingly tribe. And so God showed them that. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So we're going to go on to chapter 2. Now, we're not going to read much in chapter 2, but I'll just mention it to you. Nebuchadnezzar is troubled because he had a really bad dream, and it had a very prophetic future of what was going to happen. See, he thought, I'm the king, and all things will be under me, and Babylon will forever rule the world. That's what he thought, no doubt. Don't you think so? But in verse 5, it says that the dream, notice this, the king answered and said to the Chaldeans, a thing is gone from me. If you will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, you shall be cut in pieces, and your house shall be made a dunghill. So he calls all of his wise men and all of his sorcerers and everybody, his astrologers and everybody in there, and he tells them, now tell me what my dream is. And none of them could do that. And so then, because they couldn't do it, verse 5 tells us, he says, my dream is gone from me, and if you don't tell me what to do, I'm going to have you cut in pieces. That's the way they did in this kingdom. They were very cruel, weren't they? But if you show me the dream and interpret thereof, you shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. But it didn't look good. In verse 10, the Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such a thing of any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requires. And what did the king do? In verse 12, for this cause the king was very angry and furious, and he commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth, and the wise men should be slain. And they sought Daniel and his fellows to slay them. Oh, my goodness, they are in trouble. No one can tell the dream. There's a person that can, because he has yielded to the Holy Spirit, even in the Old Testament. He's yielded to the Lord God, and God is going to reveal it, won't he? Praise the Lord. So in verse 14, then Daniel answered with the counsel and wisdom, with counsel and wisdom. Now, who did he have counsel with? I think he counseled with God. I don't think he was saying this in himself. Oh, I can do it. I'll tell him I can do it. No, he counseled. This is chapter 2 of Daniel, verse 14. And wisdom. And he came to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. And he told him, he said, don't do this. In verse 16, then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. And notice what he says in verse 18, that they would desire mercies of God. He goes to his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, the three Hebrew children, we know them as, and he prays that God will reveal to them this night, this dream, what it meant. And the Lord did it, didn't he? He didn't fail them. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Verse 18, and they would desire mercies of the God of heaven. Hallelujah. Verse 19, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of the God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the season. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knows what is the dark, what's in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. One thing I see in that he's saying there, he has learned what Apostle Paul told us in Romans 8:28. Who can quote that verse? All things work together for good to them that love the Lord, those who are the called according to his purpose. Daniel knew that God was on the throne. He was the one that had changed the times and the seasons. He had appointed the kings. Do you believe that? How about Biden? God has allowed Biden to be the president. We don't know what's going to happen yet. We're living in the end time, folks. And we don't know what's on the agenda yet, do we? But I'm hoping Jesus is going to come at any minute. Praise the Lord. The Lord is the one who gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He reveals the deep and secret things. He knows what's in the darkness. And the light dwells with him. Praise the Lord. Isn't that a beautiful thing? The secret was revealed to Daniel. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Verse 24. Therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. And he went and said thus unto them, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. And so that's exactly what happened. And I'm not going to read it. You can read all the rest of chapter 2 at home, and most of you know what it was. God was giving to this King Nebuchadnezzar a vision of all of the Gentile times. His kingdom would be first, next would be another kingdom, next would be another kingdom, and next would be the last kingdom. Going clear through the kingdom of Rome when Jesus was here on the earth, and then the revived Roman Empire, which is going to happen right here in the end time, and the Antichrist will be. All of that was being revealed. And as Daniel prayed and waited on the Lord, God showed him all of that. Isn't that amazing? Praise the Lord. And during this time, Nebuchadnezzar realized and spoke up and realized the thoughts came back to him. Verse 30, but as for me, this secret is not revealed to me in any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. But in this passage here, Nebuchadnezzar realized that he was telling the truth. That's what I want to emphasize, that Daniel was telling the truth. Praise the Lord. Isn't that a marvelous thing? Even the kingdom of the Lord was revealed there to them. Notice in verse 44 through 45. 44 and 45, the very last kingdom that's going to be on this earth was revealed to Daniel, and he told it to Nebuchadnezzar. You think that's a miracle? It is a miracle. Jesus hadn't even been born yet on the earth. And yet, this beautiful verses in verse 44. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all of these kingdoms. And it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. And then King Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshiped Daniel and commanded that they should offer an offering, an oblation, and sweet odors unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is the God of God and the Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal the secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts, and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, and the chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. We find out there were three governors that he appointed, and Daniel was the chief one. Isn't that amazing? What did God do for Daniel? Because he loved God supremely. He elevated him, didn't he? He knew that he wouldn't be all puffed up and do his own thing when he became this great leader in the nation. He knew that. He knew that Daniel would remain humble before the Lord. And we're not going to go into the third chapter. That's where his three friends get thrown into the fiery furnace. We're just going to go on for a little bit here into chapter 6. You can read all those at home. Many of you have read them all at home. Now, the Babylonian kingdom was taken by the Medes and the Persians. The Medes and the Persians came in, and a new king arrived, and that was the king Darius. And we see that in chapter 6, verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three over these three presidents of whom Daniel was first. Now, this is a different kingdom. Of the other Babylonian kingdom, he was one of the chief ones. But now he's in a different kingdom, and this kingdom of the Medes and the Persians, Darius, who was the ruler, saw the quality of person that Daniel was and appointed him to be a ruler. What I want to impress as we read and study these things is just to remember this. If we yield our lives to God, God will bless us. And even if we're poor, he will provide for us. That's the way he does. He will provide for those who love him like he had did for Daniel. You might look at this chapter and say, well, he didn't provide very good, did he? Darius gets tricked by his men, some men, those other princes, presidents, and the princes in verse 3. Notice, then Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. What kind of a spirit do you suppose that was? I think it was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God was in his life. The Holy Spirit came on people in the Old Testament. Remember that. And he was a yielded person to God, and he was promoted to very high places. Then in the rest of this chapter, we see that the princes and the presidents, there were 120 princes and two presidents. They all gang up on him. And they take this in verse 4. They come and they want to do something to Daniel. And notice in the last part of the verse, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. What an example. Now we might think, well, how that's impossible. How could anybody not have anything wrong with them? Well, he was a human being, but he was yielded to God. He was walking with God in the presence of God. And so they come before the king. They decide they're going to make up a thing. They're going to go and tell him in verse 7. They came in and they consulted together to establish a royal statute, it says, to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. I thought Daniel was this yielded man. I mean, why on earth is he going through all this trouble? Do you feel like that sometimes? You think, well, I'm yielding to God. Why am I going through trials? Because God works through the trials. He causes us to manifest faith. Boy, did the faith need to be manifested here. Because they remind the king there in verse 7 that you're supposed to cast him into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing of the decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house and his windows being opened, his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. He didn't stop. What happens in the United States? We don't know. There's a lot of movement going on trying to get a hold of and ruling over Christianity. And of course, maybe you don't realize this, but there is a whole segment of churches that don't really believe in the death of Christ being our salvation. And they are trying desperately to get things changed also. But our government and different ones trying to make it impossible. I told you this last week. In Australia, they're trying to pass a law that no church can preach against homosexuality. If you are caught doing that, it will be 10 years in prison. Why? My goodness. I thought Australia was a belief in standing like the United States, democratic. What if that happens here? And it may. especially if the tribulation comes, things are going to be very, very hard for believers that really believe the Word of God. So here's poor Daniel. Did he stop praying? And he said, oh my, they're going to throw me in the lion's den. I'm not going to pray anymore. No, he was faithful to his God. He prayed and sought the Lord three times a day. Notice kneeling on his knees, he prayed unto the Lord. And so they would make their report to the king. In verse 13, then answered they and said unto the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed. But he makes his petition three times a day. He's over there praying. They probably stood outside the window. Now we can hear. He's praying in there. We're going to report him to the government. Praise the Lord. And so, in verse 16, the king is very upset because he doesn't want to have to cast him into the lion's den. But he says in the latter part of that verse, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. He'd heard enough of what Daniel was saying about God, I think, that he had a confidence. And so he passed the night in fasting, it says there in verse 18. And in the morning when he got up, he didn't know for sure what had happened to Daniel. In verse 20, when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spoke and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? And then Daniel said, O king, live forever. Isn't that odd? He could have said, get me out of here. He's not afraid. Isn't that remarkable? And when he came to the den, he cried, Verse 22, my God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. And so the king gets Daniel out of the lion's den. And in verse 24, the king commands, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel. They cast them into the den of lions, them and their children and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them and broke all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Amazing. Does God have that kind of power? Yes, he does. He has that kind of power. Praise the Lord. He is able. He is the God that is able. Praise the Lord. At this point of time, it's been about 70 years since Daniel came to Babylon. If you take the date 607 and you subtract what my margin says up here, 537, it's been about 70 years. So he wasn't a young man when they threw him in the lion's den. He was getting pretty old there. Another kingdom had totally come on the scene. And yet God was watching over Daniel in that pit. Isn't that remarkable? He probably was just a teenager when they brought him. But now he is been delivered. And the rest of this book, if you haven't studied the book of Daniel, we do have study books. We've taught it here several times. You can get that study book and study this book of Daniel. The rest of this book are all the prophecies of Daniel. He was a great prophet. He prophesied and he knew what the Lord was going to do with the world empires, how that eventually there would be the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he didn't call him Jesus Christ. He calls him Son of Man. That was the name Jesus said. He used himself, of himself. He said, the Son of Man cometh not but to seek and to save those that are lost. So I'm not going any further with it. But what I wanted just to impress is, again, the life of Daniel, a yielded vessel unto God. Even though he was persecuted and starving and driven for over 300 miles, they didn't put him on a nice little chariot. They had to walk. They had to be out there, and it's a terrible desert where they were going. They finally got there. God preserved their lives, and those, the Daniel and the three Hebrew children, they were dedicated to God. Isn't that a beautiful thing? You and I need to be that dedicated. Don't let anything hinder you from loving God with all of your heart and all of your mind and all of your soul. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy might, all thy heart, and all thy soul. That was the commandment from the Old Testament. And so don't let anything hinder your life. Daniel and his friends could have been like the others that were there. They could have said, well, we want the best meat. We don't want to eat this broth. They probably wouldn't even have suggested to eat broth. Or pulse, it was called. It was kind of a soup. But God caused that to miraculously nourish them. And they were better off than all of the others. We're going to sing the song. If you have any needs, feel free to come.
Let's stand and turn to 98 in the grace of glory. He is able to deliver. If he can deliver Daniel, he surely can deliver all our problems. Amen. We don't have near the problems. 'Tis the grandest theme through the ages rung. 'Tis the grandest theme for a mortal tongue. 'Tis the grandest theme that a world e'er sung. Our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver. Sin oppressed, come to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. 'Tis the grandest theme in the earth or main. 'Tis the grandest theme for a mortal strain. 'Tis the grandest theme. Tell the world again, our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, come to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. 'Tis the grandest theme, let the tidings roll to the guilty heart, to the sinful soul. Look to God in faith, he will make thee whole. Our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, come to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. One more time. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee, though by sin or